Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. Before we get into the word, and I'm going to ask everyone to stand on your feet and clap and shout like you know that the victory belongs to the Lord. Woo! Amen. All right, you can take a seat. Thank you. I did that, and I'll explain why I did that in just a few moments, because I believe that we should live enthusiastically. I want to talk to you today about don't curb your enthusiasm. You ever had somebody tell you that before? Man, you need to curb your enthusiasm. You just need to chill out. You need to calm down. And I believe there were a lot of people in the Bible that the world tried to tell you need to chill out. You need to calm down. You need to not be so crazy for Jesus. You need to not be so radical. You need to be not so zealous, not so passionate. But I'm telling you today, don't curb your enthusiasm. If you feel like shouting, if you feel like clapping, if you feel like dancing before the Lord, the Well Fort Payne is a place where we get to come together and we should serve the Lord enthusiastically. Amen. Grab your Bible and hold it up today and say this with me. Say, I am. Come on, say it like you mean it. I am what His Word says I am. I can do what His Word says I can do. I can be who His Word says I can be. So today, I'll be taught His Word. I'll obey His Word because I love His Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. As we talk today about don't curb your enthusiasm, this is something the Lord's been burning on my heart for about a week now. It started last Sunday morning when Pastor Frankie was sharing. The Lord just led me to this topic and led me to this specific passage of Scripture. And we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 17. And then later I'm going to discuss a little bit more of what's happening in this chapter, what's unfolding, what's taking place in this story, because I believe that it is vital to the topic of don't curb your enthusiasm. That it can show us ways that we can be more enthusiastic and how we should live our life and how we should serve the Lord. So let's read this today, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 17. And he, speaking of the prophet of Elisha, and he said, open the east window, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, this is what Elisha said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must, everybody say must, you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. You must strike them until you have destroyed them. I don't know about you, but I want to see every yoke of bondage destroyed in my life, in my children's life, in your life, in the city of Fort Payne's life. But sometimes we've got to strike until the yoke is broken. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not just our enthusiasm. And we'll talk a little bit in a few moments more about what enthusiasm means. But I want to see yokes broken off of people. I don't want to see people live burdened and heavy and discouraged and downtrodden and depressed. But I want to see people free and alive, because Jesus came to purchase our freedom. Amen. So let's pray today, and then we'll get into this word on don't curb your enthusiasm. Father, I pray that you would be here in our midst. I know that you are, but I pray that you would manifest yourself by your presence, God. I pray that conviction would come on upon our hearts. I pray that encouragement, courage would fill our hearts as we hear this word today, God, that we would live enthusiastically, God. We wouldn't live lives that we think they don't matter, but we would understand that we're called to be an enthusiastic people because we serve a lively God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So what's the history of the word enthusiasm? It may come as this, and I want to read you an excerpt from a dictionary website, Merriam-Webster's dictionary website, that I found as I was looking and researching this word enthusiasm, so that you know, and I tell you that so that you don't think these are my words, but this is on a secular website regarding the word enthusiasm. Here's what it says. It may come as a surprise to many people when they first look up the word enthusiasm to see that its original meaning has to do with passion for religion. It may come as a surprise for many people that the original word for enthusiasm, it has to do with passion for religion rather than passionate or eager interest in general. A brief explanation of the word's etymology should clear this up. Enthusiasm entered the English language around the beginning of the 17th century. It was borrowed from the Greek enthousiasmos. I don't know if that's, you can pardon my Greek there. I don't know if that's correct. Meaning, here's what it means, inspiration or possession by God. For the first 200 years or so that it was used in the English language, enthusiasm was primarily employed to refer to beliefs or passions that related to religion. But listen to this. By the beginning of the 18th century, however, the word began to be used to describe having strong feelings or interest in secular matters. So, something that started out to describe the church and true religion, when I say religion, I'm not talking about dead religion. I'm not talking about just doing the same old ordinances, the same old thing. But what used to be to describe somebody that was on fire for God, passionate about God, desiring His Word, desiring to be used by Him, that's what it was used for. But little by little, it crept closer and closer, and it became something to describe just a general interest in secular things. But enthusiasm means to be inspired. It means to be possessed by God. Those of us who have accepted the perfect work of the cross shouldn't lack for enthusiasm in our lives. We should be enthusiastic, for we have been filled with the wonder-working power of God. I love this. There's a song by Jason Crabb that my wife and I, we were out shopping the other day in one of those little, you know, what are they called? Consignment places where people put their junk. You know what I'm talking about? And then you go, you and your wife or you and your family, you go and you buy other people's junk, right? That's what we do. And so we're going and we're looking around today. We're playing Christian music, and there was a song by Jason Crabb, who's one of my favorite singers, and it's called If I Shout. Here's what it says. It says, so if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy, but there's just no telling what you'll do in the moment when Jesus gets a hold of you. I'm telling you, when Jesus gets a hold of your heart, when Jesus changes your life, when He takes you from a sinner to somebody who's holy, when He takes you from somebody that's broken to somebody that's been made whole, somebody that's been made complete, somebody that knows that they have an identity in Him, there's no telling what you do. And the problem, I think, with the church today is we're not enthusiastic enough. You see, when Peter and John, in the book of Acts, we're walking to the gate. They're walking past the Gate Beautiful to the temple at the third hour of the day to pray. It says the ninth hour in the Bible, but it translates to 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, they were going to pray at the temple. They saw a man who had been lame for years and years and years sitting there. And he said, alms, alms. And they looked at him. And Peter said, I don't have any gold. I don't have any silver. But what I do have, because I'm inspired, I'm possessed by God, because I have enthusiasm living inside of me, because I have that, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. So the man jumps up, and you know what it says of the man? He was leaping, he was shouting, and he was praising God. In other words, when God touched his life, he was enthusiastic about it. He couldn't hide the fact that he was excited. And I believe that because we have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ every single day, we should be enthusiastic about life. We should be enthusiastic about serving God. When God has touched your life, people will know about it. You can try to hide it, but you won't be able to. When God, it's like this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. Jesus said, you're a city that's set on a hill, and you're not meant to be hidden. You're not meant to put a cover on your lamp, but you're meant to say, this is my light, and I'm going to let it shine so that people can see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, the problem that we've run into with the church is we've made our light about us. Look at me glow. Look at me shine. And that can only fulfill you for so long. It can't bring true fulfillment. And that's why our enthusiasm has run out, because we're no longer inspired or possessed by God, but we're inspired by the desire to make everybody else see how bright we are, how good we are. But the truth is that God gave you a light and you should let it shine as a believer of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we get lulled to sleep and we forget what God has done in our life. And that's why we stop being enthusiastic. We forget about the fact that He healed us. I know when I was a teenager, I know this is gross, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. When I was a teenager, I had warts all over my hands. I'm talking, I had over 15 on one hand and over 8 on the other hand, to the point that it was embarrassing for anybody to see, anybody to know. But one time I went to a conference and this gentleman said, I believe that God wants to heal some people today. If you need healing in your body, stand up. I stood up. And I was the only person standing up. And he said, "You're healed in Jesus' name." He didn't shunda lunda haya at me. He didn't come off the stage and slap me on the forehead. He just said, "You're healed in Jesus' name." We were in Nashville, Tennessee. By 10 a.m. the next morning, I did not have a wart on my body. And I haven't had one since. So sometimes, though, we forget about maybe God healed you in a way like that. Maybe you had, I know Pastor Lauren went through cancer and beat cancer. I know that many of you have had different things in your life that you have gone through, that you've endured. Don't forget that it was God that got you through it. It wasn't just because of your goodness, because of your personality or your talents or your abilities. It was God that delivered you. And that's why God constantly reminded the people of Israel. He said, "I am the Lord your God, who delivered you out of Egypt." You look throughout the Old Testament, New Testament. He said it over and over. "I am your God." He never wanted them to forget the fact that he'd redeemed them. He'd freed them. He'd gotten them out of slavery. He never wanted them to forget the fact that they were redeemed. He wanted them to stay enthusiastic about his mighty deliverance. And I believe that we should serve the Lord with enthusiasm. And I'm not interested in a boring religious experience. I'm just not. Going to church and, oh, wow, that, you know, I checked that off the list and I better read my Bible and I better pray. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. No, I'm not interested in just a boring religious experience. I want to serve God with everything inside of me. I want to be enthusiastic when I wake up. I want to be passionate about my relationship with Him. And I'm just going to say, I believe that God spoke to me, said, the church. Remember, we're part of the church, okay? Because sometimes when preachers talk about the church, we start thinking that other church. Just like when mom and dad used to get onto the children, you started thinking that other child. Or when the boss gets onto the team, you think, oh yeah, that's because he's never pulling his weight. But sometimes the first place we should always look is inwardly. And I believe God's saying to the church, and the church means us and the church as a whole, that we're not enthusiastic enough. That's why I wanted us just to stand up and clap and shout earlier. It's just to release into the atmosphere the fact that we're enthusiastic about the fact that God has won our battles, that God has redeemed our souls, and we should celebrate our freedom in Christ. And so I don't say we're not enthusiastic enough to condemn you or to shame you or to conjure up emotion. That's the last thing I'd want to do, is just conjure up emotionalism and everybody shouts because they think the pastor wants them to shout or because everybody else is shouting. But I believe we should be enthusiastic. And I say this because that's what the Spirit of God put in my heart. He said the church as a whole, Fort Payne, with a well in Scottsboro, the church down the street, the church around the world, is just not enthusiastic enough. I truly believe that. And I want to look at the full encounter between Elisha and Joash. And if Madison, if you'd hand me those arrows. I've got, Chris brought me some visual aid today, because he's a deer hunter and I knew he'd have these. It's bow season. And I've got these arrows because I want to tell you this story. Because what happens is Elisha is on his deathbed. He's gotten very old. The Bible says that he had gotten sick with a sickness of which he would die. And he's laying in his bed and Joash comes and he begins to cry out to him. And I believe that there's a lesson that can be learned in this, because if you look at this story and you read it, and we're not going to read the whole thing for time's sake, but if you read the entire story, you'll realize that Joash was full of emotion, but he lacked enthusiasm. Okay? Because there is a difference between emotions and enthusiasm. Okay? So, because when he came to visit, here's how I know he was full of emotion, but he was lacking in enthusiasm. When he came to visit the old prophet, his first words out of his mouth were the words that Elisha had spoken as a young man to his mentor as the chariot of fire separated them and took Elijah into heaven. He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." That's what Joash said to Elisha when he came to visit him in his house. He used the words because he was trying to play with Elisha's emotions to be able to get what he wanted from Elisha. Because sometimes you've seen your children do it. You do it. You play with people's emotions because you know that if I can get them to feel what I'm feeling, if I can get them to feel a certain way, then I can get from them what I want. And so today I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking about enthusiasm. He was full of emotion, meaning he was playing the game, but he wasn't living the reality. Because it says he wept on the prophet's face. So there were tears. There was emotion. He was trying to tie history into it. And emotion was present, but enthusiasm was not. Here's how I know that. Because Elisha tells the king, he says, open that east window that we read earlier. And he said, stretch out the bow. And Elisha put his hands on Joash's hands. And he said, shoot the arrow. And he shot the arrow. And it went out of the window. And he said, this is the Lord's arrow of deliverance. The Lord's arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you have destroyed them. You see, the Syrians had been tormenting God's people for years and years and years. And I believe that God was giving them the opportunity for complete deliverance. But because of their lack of enthusiasm, we'll find in this story, because of the king's lack of enthusiasm, the nation did not completely destroy them. Because Elisha said, you must strike them until you destroy them. You must strike them, meaning don't stop until you do. So Elisha had showed the king prophetically that the arrows represented the deliverance of the Lord for his people from Syria. And then he tells him, if you keep reading the story, after he shoots the arrow, he says, Joash, grab those other arrows and strike the ground. So Joash, he gets the arrows, and I told Chris I wouldn't hit the ground with these, so I'm not going to. So Joash grabs the arrows and he says, bam, bam. Bam! He strikes the ground three times. And the Bible says that the prophet Elisha became very angry. And I wonder what he told him to open the window. He opened the window. He told him to shoot. He shot. He told him to strike the ground. He struck the ground. What is there to be mad about? He did everything you wanted him to do. And it says Elisha was angry. He said, you only struck the ground three times. You should have struck the ground five or six times. For if you would have struck the ground five or six times, you would have had complete deliverance over Syria. But because you only struck three times, you will only strike them three times. Meaning, Joash, you're lacking enthusiasm. You've got the emotions. You're crying. You're quoting the things from the past. But you're not enthusiastic enough to, I told you, you must strike them until you destroy them. Meaning, keep striking them. Keep beating them back. Keep doing it. And I've already told you, this is the Lord's arrow of deliverance. And so now, he only struck the ground three times. And here's what's happening. Is because Joash was high on emotion, low on enthusiasm, what he wanted to do is he wanted Elisha to fix all of his problems for him. And he thought that if he just came and he went through the motions and he did what he was told to do, that everything would work out. Here you go, babe. I'm going to give these back to you. He thought that if he just came and he went through the motion, everything would work out. He didn't take into account the responsibility that he had that would lay upon himself. And sometimes that's how we act as believers. We come to church expecting the preacher to fix all our problems, expecting the worship leader to take us into the presence of God and worship for us and make a way for us and make it easier. And listen, church is great. But you need to be worshiping. You need to be feeding yourself with the Word on Monday, on Thursday, on Tuesday, on Saturday, all throughout the week, because you have a responsibility, because nobody else can worship for you. Nobody else can obey the Word for you. Nobody else can serve the Lord for you. That's why I love what it says in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It talks about the Bereans. And it says that they sought the Scriptures more enthusiastically than anybody else. That's the translation in New King James says that they sought it with more diligence. But if you seek out that word diligence, it actually means that they sought out the Word enthusiastically. That they weren't just taking whatever the preacher said. No, that was a good word, but they took it to heart. They were enthusiastic about the Word of God. And you need to live it with an enthusiastic spirit, knowing that your worship is like an arrow. Like the arrow that Elisha told Joash to strike on the ground. Your worship, your seeking of the Lord, your prayer, your time in the Word, it's like an arrow. And when you use the Word of God, when you use prayer, when you use worship, you're striking the enemy and you're striking the enemy and you're pushing him back. You're tearing down strongholds. You're silencing the voice of the enemy. You're pushing back darkness. You're welcoming the Spirit of God into your situation. And you are bringing about the victory of the Lord because you're enthusiastically striking the ground. You're not just going, oh, Sunday morning, oh, Wednesday night, oh, I guess I'll read my Bible. Like Joash, just going through the motions and playing emotions, but you're striking the ground. You're taking your walk with God seriously. And you're saying, I want to live an enthusiastic life. But when we refuse to worship, when we stop striking the ground, We shut off the blessings. We shut off the deliverance. And we shut off the victory. Because God didn't go, well, at least you struck it three times. Elisha was angry. He said, man, you should have struck it five or six times. Meaning you should have done almost double what you were doing. But you weren't enthusiastic enough. When you shout, when you clap your hands, when you worship, when you dance before the Lord, when you lift your voice, it's not wasted. Your enthusiasm isn't worthless. God sees it. Even if it doesn't make a difference to anybody else, which I believe it does. I believe that one of the reasons we should be enthusiastic is yes, for God. Yes, because we're glad about what He's done, what He's doing inside of it. But also, it helps other people. And the reason that you're still fighting the same old temptations, the same old demons, the same old addictions is because you just strike the ground what is required of you. But He said, you'll strike them three times, but you won't completely destroy them. See, what we're doing is we're playing volleyball sometimes with the enemy. We hit it over there and then it comes back and we hit it over there and we're just back. But He said, no, next time that volleyball comes over this way, stab it with one of those arrows and beat it on the ground. That's like one time when I was about, I don't know, 13 or 14, I came home and my mom had found a snake in her closet. And I don't do snakes because that's how the devil came into this world is, you know, through a snake. And so I just think that God was showing us something there through the word. It's a revelation. And so I said, Stu, let's get it. So I got a golf club. And I don't remember what Stu got. And I got that snake and we took him outside and I chopped its head off. And my brother turned around to go back inside and he tells this story a lot funnier than I do. But he said all of a sudden he heard something. He turned back around and I'm doing this. I was just beating the fire out of that snake. I was like, that snake is not going to, because I'd heard it can still bite you after it's been dead. I was not going to let it come back. And that's what you need to do to your temptations, to your addictions. Don't just play with them. Oh, I'll get them out of my life for a little while. But when they try to come back, you strike them. And the way you strike them is not by willpower or by being strong. It's by worship. It's by the word. That's what your arrows are, that you're fighting back. You're pushing back. You're saying, you're not coming in my house anymore. You're not coming in my life anymore. I'm going to strike you until it is completely destroyed. And the church has gotten too calm, too docile, too politically correct. And that's why we're still fighting the same old things. Because of low enthusiasm, low passion, low fervor. But Proverbs says this. And this is, I think, our problem. Okay, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. The problem is we want somebody else to keep throwing wood into our fire. Joash wanted Elisha, but Elisha was about to die. And that's why Elisha wanted Joash. Because Elisha had been the answer for everybody for a long time. But he knew he was about to die. And so he was trying to show him, I want you to, with enthusiasm, beat back the enemy till they're completely destroyed. Because I'm not going to be here to fight your battles for you anymore, Joash. You're going to have to do it for yourself. You're going to have to put some wood on the fire yourself. It's like we have a fire pit out back and we had a fire the other night. And as long as I kept putting wood on the fire, it would burn. It would not, as long as I kept putting wood on the fire, it would continue to burn. But when I stopped putting wood out and the fire that was there was consumed, and some people are living on wood that you got put in the fire 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and it's just barely smoking. But the good news is a smoldering wick, the Lord will not put out. He won't vanquish even a small flame. He wants to stoke that fire back to passion. He wants to stoke it back to enthusiasm. He wants to stoke it back to the place that He's called you to be. You are responsible for your passion. You are responsible to keep yourself filled up, to stoke the fire. You provide the sacrificial life and He'll provide the fire. You just keep putting wood on your heart. You just keep coming before the Lord. You just keep giving yourself to Him. Keep trusting Him. Keep praising Him. Keep serving Him. Keep being enthusiastic. Keep wood on the fire. Stay hot. Stay enthusiastic. Stay passionate. Strike the ground with the arrows on Tuesday afternoon when you're at work and you're feeling sluggish and you wonder if you need a fourth cup of coffee or what. Just begin to worship the Lord. Begin to stir it up inside of you. Begin to say, I'm not going to let the rocks cry out. I'm not going to wait till Sunday morning rolls back around to worship the Lord. I'm going to worship Him. And here's the thing is the enemy is going to try to get you to quit. He's going to come along and he's going to try to get you to think it's not doing any good. It's not working. You're weird. Everybody else thinks you're weird. You're losing it. You're crazy. You're shouting, you're clapping, you're singing. What is that doing for you? But just keep going with enthusiasm, because you're going to think maybe God isn't listening. He's forgot. This doesn't matter. This is just craziness. But here's the thing. You just keep striking the ground with enthusiasm. Because every strike, you're driving the enemy back. Every strike, you're drawing the presence of God closer and closer to your home. But here's a misconception that I want to debunk. Let's do a little Mythbusters. Anybody ever watch Mythbusters? Let's bust a myth here. You do not have to be charismatic in order to be enthusiastic. Some people think that enthusiasm is a personality trait, but it's not. It's a condition of the heart. You see, some people think, well, I'm just not enthusiastic. That's not true, because remember the definition, the truest form of enthusiasm is being inspired by God and possessed by God. So you can be enthusiastic because God is living inside of you without having a charismatic, loud, outgoing personality. So some people think, well, I'm not called to be enthusiastic. Yes, you are. Everyone is called to live enthusiastically. You can be calm, collected, mild temper, yet passionate and enthusiastic about life and about God. Because all God asks from you is that you would be yourself. He don't want you to try to be somebody. Listen, if you don't have a charismatic, outgoing, loud, extroverted personality, He doesn't want you to be that. But if you are those things, He doesn't want you to try to just be quiet all the time. And He wants your personality to shine through, because He created you the way that He loves you. And so be yourself, but just be an enthusiastic version of yourself. Be inspired and be possessed by God, because God never wants you to try to be somebody else. And man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He's looking, do they have an enthusiastic heart? Because it's not about how loud you are, how extravagant you are with your actions, with your words, with your facial expressions. It's about how enthusiastic is the heart that He's given you. How passionate is it? Are you keeping wood put on that fire? And God isn't looking for apathetic people, but enthusiastic people. You see, that's why it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, I'd encourage you, if you write in your Bible, underline that word whatever, circle that word whatever. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And if you live your life trying to impress people, trying to please people, you're going to get so far off track from who God has called you to be. But you do everything that you do heartily as unto the Lord. Don't give a half-hearted effort in anything. Meaning, if you're playing in the yard with your children, be all in. Be enthusiastic about playing quarterback for your son. Be enthusiastic about building that dollhouse for your daughter. Be enthusiastic about, you know, the other day I took my boys hunting, okay? Hunting, right? They all had sticks that I had slightly sharpened with the sandpaper at the end that couldn't have hurt a housefly. And we're traipsing through the woods, but they thought we were on an adventure in Africa hunting lions or something. I mean, they were just loving every second of it. If you will be enthusiastic in your parenting, if you'll be enthusiastic at your job, if you'll be enthusiastic in your marriage, if you'll be enthusiastic, here's the thing, it will lead to promotion. Enthusiasm leads to promotion. Here's how I know that. Nobody wants to promote a half-hearted, apathetic, lethargic, dull lurch. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody looks and goes, you know, managers get together and they're looking and they're talking and go, have you seen Jim? Yeah, I've seen him. Man, unless he's told to do something, he just sits over there. Yeah, I see him. He walked right past that piece of trash and didn't pick it up. Yeah, I saw that. Let's promote him. That's not how it works. The way that you get promoted, the way that you grow, Pastor Lauren did not become a Master Chief E9 by being low on enthusiasm, low on passion, low on fervor. But when you go after something, you're enthusiastic about it, you begin to get promoted. If you're preparing a presentation for 6 people, prepare like you're speaking to 6,000 people. Be enthusiastic about it. So whatever you're doing, be there 100% and do it as unto the Lord. And here's the thing about enthusiasm. Some people are enthusiastic at home, but not at work. Some people are enthusiastic at work, but when they come home, they're a deadbeat. They don't do anything. They're very successful at work, but when they come home, they're not enthusiastic with their wife. They're not enthusiastic with their children. They're not enthusiastic with their family members. Some people are enthusiastic out in the community, but they come to church and it's like they walked into a shell and they can't move and they can't talk and they can't smile. I've seen people before that I see them out in the community and man, they're the life of the party and they come in church. I'm like, where'd you go? Like, what happened? Is there something in the back door that transformed you when you... But then there's some people that at church, man, they're just... And then you see them out in the community and what do you want? You know, they're just all just mad and sour face. It's like, be enthusiastic. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If you're enthusiastic at work, be enthusiastic at home. If you're enthusiastic at home, be enthusiastic at church, at the grocery store. Just be, and I'm not just, again, I'm not just talking about personality. I'm talking about your heart. You can be mild tempered, you can be calm, you can be chill, and still be an enthusiastic person. So be a person, what I'm saying is be a person that makes a difference everywhere that you go. Because enthusiasm changes things. And in fact, when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth in the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says this, "For I know of your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians." So I've seen you guys are eager, you guys are ready to go, and I've been telling everybody else about it. Telling them that since last year in Achaia, you were ready to give, listen to this, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Your enthusiasm stirred them to action. You see, what Paul's talking about here is they were taking up a collection for the saints that were in need. And he said, you guys were so eager, you were so enthusiastic that we didn't just take up from you guys, but it stirred other people to action. So when you're enthusiastic about your job, then other people on your line, in your job, in your shift, it will become contagious, because negativity is contagious, but so is enthusiasm. So is positivity. So is love. So is joy. So is peace. So is patience. And so you might come home and you just show up and you decide, you know what? On the way home, I'm going to be enthusiastic when I get home. I'm not going to be fake. I'm not going to be somebody that I'm not, but I'm going to be inspired by God and possessed by God, even when I'm at home, and not just when I'm at church or not just when I'm at work, but I'm going to be the same person everywhere that I go. Your home atmosphere, your life will begin to change because it will stir other people to action. You can change the atmosphere of your home, your workplace. You can change the atmosphere of your church. I'm telling you, I just want to brag on them. Tommy and Rochelle changed the atmosphere in worship today. Not because of emotionalism, not because they were trying to hype anybody up, but because they were just worshiping with enthusiasm, and I could feel the energy in the room as they worshiped. And so I'm going to need you guys to join the worship team. Tommy's on kazoo. Did you know that God wants to do everything with you? Amen. Everything. God, Pastor, we had lunch with Pastor Frankie last week, and he looked at Pastor Madison like he only can. He said, "God wants to spank your children with you." And I was like, yeah, I guess he does, doesn't he? He wants to do everything. But see, we separate God from so many aspects of our life. But God wants, I can go play golf with God. That changed my life. First time I found that out, I was like, well, now I know what I need to do all the time. I just need to go play golf and I spend time with God. But God will commute with you. God will cook with you. God will wipe a dirty bottom with you. He will do everything with you because He just wants to be with you. And that's why we should do everything heartily as unto Him and not as unto people. I like to say it this way. Do everything enthusiastically as unto the Lord and not as unto men. I agree with Spurgeon. I shared this a couple Wednesdays ago. He said, our happy God deserves to be praised by happy people. I would add this. Our happy God deserves to be praised by an enthusiastic people, a passionate people. Could you imagine you gave your only son to save somebody and this is all they can give you? Okay, is it? Okay, service is over. All right, where are we going to lunch? Could you imagine being God and that's all you get from the people that you shed the blood of your perfect son for? And again, it's not about external things. God sees the heart. If you're standing there like this, but you're worshiping, then I'm all for it. But it's the heart. You need to check your heart. Is my heart enthusiastically worshiping the Lord? You see, I believe that enthusiasm is the key, one of the keys to your breakthrough. Only God can bring complete deliverance. But that's why the prophet told Joash, he said, you strike them until you have destroyed them. I'm giving you an arrow. I'm giving you a weapon. Because what is an arrow other than a weapon? It's a means to create harm, right? And so he gives him a weapon, and we have been given the weapon of the word. The word is the sword of the spirit. We've been given the weapon of praise, and enthusiastic seeking God, enthusiastic worship is one of the keys to your breakthrough. And I want to show you this in Scripture because maybe you've been battling, you've been weary, you've been struggling, you've been wondering, is this just how life's always going to be? No, it does. It's not how life always has to be, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so that enthusiasm that's inside of you is greater than whatever's coming against you in the world. If you'll go with me to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we find the story of a man by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. Literally, that's what they called him, Blind Bartimaeus. He wasn't known just by his name. He was known and labeled by his condition, by the way that the world saw him, by who he'd always been and who they thought that he would always be. The Bible literally lists him, Blind Bartimaeus. That's what they called him. He'd been labeled according to his condition. And maybe today you've been labeled by society. Maybe you've been labeled by your friends. Maybe you've been labeled by your parents that you're weird or you're stupid or you're not good enough or you're this or you're that. I'm telling you today that if you will praise the Lord with enthusiasm, if you'll seek God with enthusiasm, that breakthrough is coming on your behalf. And what happened is in this passage is Jesus came to Jericho. Let's pick up in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho, speaking of Jesus, with his disciples at a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is my favorite part, verse 49. So Jesus stood still, and he commanded that he be brought to him. And they said, be of good cheer. Listen, be wary when your haters become your praisers. Okay? Be wary of people like that. One second, they're telling Bartimaeus, shut up, be quiet, be quiet. Leave him alone. And next thing, hey, come on, buddy, let's take you to Jesus. Be careful of people like that in your life, okay? So it says, so Jesus stood still, and they said, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And it says, throwing aside his garment, and there's a whole sermon in this, but for time's sake, we're not going to preach all of it today. He rose and he came to Jesus. So Jesus answered him and said, what do you want me to do for you? Could you imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, what do you want? Well, I believe that he's already extended that question to each and every one of us through the work of the cross. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, meaning teacher, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus on the road. I truly believe that the enthusiasm that God has put inside of us partly is faith. The faith to believe, the faith to look in the face of a mountain, to look in the face of an adversity and say, you can be cast into the sea. You see, it wasn't just blind Bartimaeus' outward expression that got him healed. It was his inward faith, which shows me that it's not just about charisma, but it's about a heart. He said, it's your faith that made you well. So he begins to cry out enthusiastically, Jesus, son of David, and people begin to try to quiet him down. People begin to warn him, be quiet. But I love what the Bible says. He cried out all the more. When people are trying to get you to stop being enthusiastic in your praise, in your worship, in your seeking of God, don't let it stop you. Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it put you down. Don't let it discourage you. Realize you're getting closer and closer, because if others can curb your enthusiasm, then it really is an enthusiasm. Because what is enthusiasm? It's inspiration and possession by God. So if other people can curb it, then it's just outward emotions. It's just drama. It's just you being loud, you making a scene, but enthusiasm comes from within. What if Bartimaeus would have cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me? And the people would have said, man, shut up, be quiet. And he would have said, okay. And he would have just listened. I believe he would have died blind, Bartimaeus. But he cried out all the more. He didn't let other people keep him. He kept crying, and Jesus stood still. His enthusiasm is what stopped Jesus. Him crying more and more and stopped Jesus in his cries. He calls for him. And in that moment, Bartimaeus went from blind and begging to believing and belonging. In that moment, one encounter with Jesus Christ that got him there through enthusiasm. He went from a blind man who was a beggar to someone who believed and belonged. Because it says, if you keep reading, that Jesus went on the road and Bartimaeus followed them. Meaning he became a part of their company. He found a family. He found a community. He found somewhere that he belonged. He found somewhere that he should be. And I'm telling you today that everybody needs somewhere where they can belong. And that's what part of the church is for, is to give you a place to belong, give you somewhere where you can use your gifts, use your talents. And the reason I believe that Bartimaeus was healed was because his enthusiasm, because of his faith. And people won't understand. Listen, your family might not understand. Your coworkers probably won't understand if they're not saved. Your neighbors won't understand. Your mom and your dad might not understand. Listen, your fellow church members might not understand. But remember this, you're not living for them. And you're not living their life. You know what you're facing. You know what you're up against. And so yeah, that's like that song. If I shout, here's why I'm shouting. I'm shouting because I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I've been made free. I've been made well. I've been made whole. And I believe that we should live that way with our lives. And I want to encourage you to be like Bartimaeus. Don't let anybody silence your cry for God. Don't let anybody silence your cry for mercy. And Jesus always responds to a cry for mercy. You know why? Because Jesus was moved with compassion. And that's the definition of mercy, is just compassion and pity. And Jesus was moved when he enthusiastically cried out, "Have mercy on me." That's what you need to do today, maybe, is just say, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Realize that I have areas in my life that aren't all put together. They're not perfect. They're not great. But I'm not going to let it keep me." You see, here's some people let their failures keep them from crying out to the Lord. Don't ever let failure keep you from lifting your voice to the Lord. That's the time when you need to cry out all the more and say, "Have mercy on me. Forgive me, God. I want you to come. I want you to make things right." So what if Bartimaeus would have allowed the crowd to silence him? Or on the other side, what if Joash would have continued striking the ground? You have two sides, one who did it right, one who did it wrong. What if Bartimaeus would have quit? I believe he would have stayed blind. What if Joash would have continued striking? He would have struck them until he had destroyed them. And I'm saying to you today, never stop striking the ground. Your worship isn't wasted. Your prayers aren't worthless. Your faith isn't forgotten. Strike the fire. Stoke the fire. Strike the ground every day. Wake up every morning and choose to live enthusiastically, inspired by God, possessed by God. Invite him in everything that you do. Don't let the cares of the world choke out your zeal. That's what will happen, is sometimes we get going, we get busy, and the house payment and the hours we're working at our job and our education or our friendships begin to drown out that enthusiasm that God puts inside of us. But don't let the world drown out your enthusiasm. Seek God passionately. And like Bartimaeus, don't let other people define who you are and how you live your life. Don't let anybody around you define how you live your life. Let God and His Word lead you and guide you into who you're supposed to be. Because like I've mentioned many times in this sermon, I want to define it a little bit. There's a difference between enthusiasm and emotionalism. Now, emotions aren't bad. Get that clear. Emotions are not bad. Because God gave them to us. Okay? And anything that God gave you is good. Right? God doesn't give anything that is bad. And so God gave you emotions. The ability to cry. The ability to laugh. The ability to get mad. Listen, is it a sin to get mad? No. Because the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." And it says that God is angry with the wicked every day. So if God can get angry and not sin, then it's not a sin. We have to learn how to control our emotions. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We need to learn, like David, to command our soul. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Don't curse, but bless. Amen? So emotions aren't bad because God gave them to us. And I'm not against emotions. I'm not against feelings. But I am against emotionalism. And I've seen it in the church throughout my entire life. I grew up Pentecostal. I grew up charismatic. I grew up in a spirit-believing church. And I've seen where people run, they clap, they shout, they dance, and it becomes a parade to see who can be crazier, who can be louder, who had the spirit today, who was the loudest. Listen, this is not a museum or a showcase. This is an encounter zone. Okay? And what I mean by that is this isn't the opportunity, because I've seen it. Usually the people that shout the loudest and clap the longest and amen the most go out and live like hell the rest of the week. I mean, that's just, I've seen it my entire life in church. And so I'm not trying to conjure up emotion that you clap and you shout. Listen, like I said, if the Lord puts on your heart to do that, this is a free place where you can do that. You can express yourself. I want you to be enthusiastic, but I don't want to pressure people into emotionalism. Where if we're not in the altar crying every week, then we didn't have a good service. If there wasn't Jericho laps around the room, then y'all, some of y'all don't know Jericho. Some of y'all are too Baptist to know what a Jericho lap is. A Jericho march is when you'd put your hands on the people in front of you and you'd march around the room 7 times and then you'd shout. And yeah, I mean, I guess it, I don't know. I mean, maybe one time God told, see, here's what happens. I'm getting off course here, but here's what happens. God tells people to do something one time and they think that's how the way they got to do it every time. And that's how emotionalism is born. You see, I don't think that the next time Joash went to fight a battle, God wanted him to grab those same 3 arrows and strike the ground again. And what happens in emotionalism is instead of being inspired by God and possessed by God, we become inspired and possessed by our own ideas, our own emotions, our own thoughts. And we think, well, it worked this way last time, so we're going to do it again this time. And it's like Moses. God told him to strike the rock one time, but speak to the rock the next time. And so we've got to be possessed by that enthusiasm, that God inside of us, leading us, speaking to us, and not just, well, this feels good, and so therefore I'm going to do it. You see, that's where we go wrong a lot of times. And so I don't want just hype and emotionalism. Enthusiasm is when God possesses you, God inspires you. So let's be enthusiastic people. Let's be people that are passionate, people that are zealous, people that are filled with the Spirit of God and are excited to live every single day, because we get to be called His people, His chosen ones, His sons and His daughters. And that's enough reason for me. God doesn't have to do something for me tomorrow for me to wake up and be enthusiastic. But that's the way that we have developed, is when God does something, then I'll be enthusiastic about it. No, I believe that we should be enthusiastic because He has already given us everything that we need that pertains both to life and to godliness. He sent His Son to die on the cross, so He deserves an enthusiastic people. Amen. Would you stand to your feet today? I want to encourage you today that as you go from this place, to make sure that you draw that fine line between enthusiasm and emotionalism. And that's why today I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm not going to try to get you to come up here and let's all dance and let's all shout and let's all jump. But the reason that I'm ending service this way, because you think, well, you talk about enthusiasm and then we're just going to pray and we're going to go. Yeah, because enthusiasm isn't about conjuring something up. It's about letting something out. It's about God that's inside of you, possessing you, inspiring you to be an enthusiastic, Spirit-filled person that He has called you to be. Amen? If you would bow your head and close your eyes with me today, I just want to pray over you. If you desire to be more enthusiastic in your walk with God, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands. I've got my hands lifted. I believe that we should all long to be more enthusiastic. God, I pray that You would fill us with Your Spirit. God, I pray that You would possess us. God, show us which way to go. God, when we're going to work, God, lead us and guide us the direction that we should go. Give us the things to say, the things to do. God, and let us never be people that are lulled to sleep. God, let us not be people like Joash that only strike the ground 3 times, that are just going through the motions, expecting somebody else to do it for us, somebody else to have our breakthrough. But God, let us be like Bartimaeus, that we would cry out for You. We would long for You, God. We would come after You. We would throw aside our garment. We'd get rid of anything that would hold us back from getting to You, God, and that we would find Your presence. We would find who You've called us to be, God. We long to be enthusiastic, passionate, zealous, full-hearted people, God, possessed by You, inspired by You, filled by You, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, we have an exciting news. We have a baptism following today's service. Josh Simmons, following Pastor Frankie's sermon last week, decided to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, because remember what Pastor Frankie shared, is when you go down, yes, it's an external thing, it's a natural thing that we do, but it symbolizes the cleansing, that the old man is dying, that the old addictions, that the old thoughts, that the old words, that the old things, they're dying, and you're coming up, you're washed from the filth of this world. And so we're going to celebrate that here in just a few moments together. But first, let me speak a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you. May He keep you in His peace, and may you serve Him with enthusiasm, full of heart, full of fervor, full of ardor for Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go today. I love you guys. Join us out in the parking lot once you get your children for the baptism. And don't forget about the meeting Wednesday night for Trail of Treats.